Good morning and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hope everyone is staying safe and healthy. This is Ahmed Hazem from EFG Hermes Research. We are pleased to welcome you all today to Nakilat's first half 2021 results conference call. We have with us on the line Mr. Hani Abu Akhir, CFO of Nakilat, and Mr. Fotios Zeritis, Head of Investor Relations. First off, I'd like to congratulate management for a very solid set of results and now hand over the call to Fotios. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Ahmed. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Nakilat's first half of 2021 conference call. For your convenience, the transcript of this call and presentation will be available on company's investor relations section of our website. As a reminder, this conference call is being recorded. Many of our remarks contain forward-looking statements, and for factors that cause actual results to differ materially from these forward-looking statements, please refer to the slide 2 of Investor Relations presentation. In addition, some of our remarks contain non-IFRS financial measures. A reconciliation of this is included in the note of this presentation. Nakilat CFO Hani Abu Akhir will begin today's call with a discussion of company's highlights and followed by a brief discussion of group earning results. After, I will give you an overview of LNG shipping market. And finally, Nakilat CFO Hani Abu Akhir will walk you through the company's business outlook. We will then be happy to address any of your questions. Now, I would like to hand it over to the CFO of Nakilat, Mr. Hani Abu Akhir. Hani, please go ahead.
Thank you, Fotios, and welcome all to our Nakilat semi-annual earning results presentation for 2021. I hope all of you and your families are staying safe and you follow up precautious measures against COVID-19. Once again, before we get into our results, we will take this moment to say thank you for our seafarer, shore-based staff for their extraordinary dedication to maintain our business continuity and resilience during these challenging moments so we can bring cleaner energy to the world without any delay or disruption. Now, I will turn to slides 8 and 9 of the presentation. And despite of the COVID-19 pandemic challenges, I'm pleased to announce that we have reported a profit of 636 million Qatari riyal for the first half of 2021, which is reflect a 15.6% increase in compared to the same period in 2020, which was effectively supported by streamlining our expenses and creating additional savings to ensure our sustainable return to our shareholders. You guys can see specifically our Nakilat G&A and operating expenses has decreased by 18.6% and 2.4% respectively compared to the same period in 2020 due to Nakilat management emphasis on cost rationalization, structure, and economy of scales. All of the above emphasize Nakilat's ability to deliver the required and sustainable return and cash flow during any cycle of an LNG shipping market. Also, we can see that Nakilat EBITDA has reached 1.6 billion in H1, and also we can see that our current ratio is standing out at 1.3, and our return on equity is close to 12.7%. And this is again due to our strategy to optimize utilization of our fleet and our continuous effort to cost savings, which will benefit our stakeholders. Now, let me hand it back to Fotios to take you through an overview of the LNG shipping market. So, Fotios, if you can please take it from there.
Thank you so much, Hani. Hello, everyone. I will give you a brief update on the LNG shipping market. The market participants retain their positive long-term outlook on LNG as its shares has been a rise in the energy mix for the most economies under their decarbonization goals. According to Drewry, the LNG imports for the top five Asian countries grew up by 12% in the first half 2021 due to the harsh winter season which depleted their gas storages. Second, lower nuclear output, and third, an increase in the coal-to-gas switch. Specifically, China's and Japan's LNG imports in the first half 2021 were up 26 and 9% from 2020 respectively. In the first half of 2021, the global LNG exports have been increased 15% year on year. LNG shipping will also benefit from this positive LNG trade outlook as it translates to a rise in LNG shipping demand. Drewry projects the LNG shipping stone of mile demand to increase at cargo of 8.1% by 2026. Now if you turn to the slide of 7 to 8 in our presentation, according to Poten, the current spot charter rates for modern two-stroke tonnage is approximately $90,000 per day, $75,000 per day for DFDs, and $60,000 per day for steams. SSY assessed the one-year LNG shipping charter rates at approximately $100,000 per day for mega XDFs, $90,000 per day for DFDs, and $55,000 for steams, which is a very helpful benchmark when an owner discusses term opportunities for their LNG vessels. Now please turn to the slide 9 of our presentation. In 2021, you can see that the global LNG fleet is 556 vessels in operation and another 153 conventional LNG vessels on the order book until 2025 as per Clarksons. This implies an increase of 28% of the total LNG fleet in terms of number of conventional LNG vessels as of July 2021. Currently, the LNG shipping market is enjoying a counter-seasonal strength for numerous reasons, particularly due to the fundamental LNG demand. The long-term fundamentals of global LNG shipping are healthy, which would be beneficial for Nakilat due to the fact that our core competency is around the transportation of LNG. Now, I would like to hand it back to Mr. Hani Abouaker, our CFO, to give you an insight in Nakilat's business outlook. Hani, please go ahead.
Thank you, Fotios, for the brief. In 2021, or the second half, we expect to see another successful year for Nakilat due to the management effort to maximize and the utilization of the entire fleet and to optimize our operating expenses. So in the second half, we expect to receive our third new build jointly owned LNG carrier under Nakilat commercial and technical management. In addition, we're closely working to make sure that we optimize all our costs with the shipyard team and to mitigate any sort of adverse exposure at this segment. In addition, we are continuously working and screening the global LNG shipping market to identify attractive business opportunities which will add value to our company and shareholders. Before we open the floor for questions, as we have emphasized before, we will not be taking any question related to the QP LNG shipping tender announcements that has happened over the last months. We cannot comment on the commercial and technical details related to the tender, which is the project that is owned and managed by QP and QG. For additional details, you can go to the QP announcement, I refer to QP press release, which is on their own website. With that, I will ask the operator to open the floor for questions, and hopefully we can really address them today.
If you would like to register to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. We have a question from Lee Beswick of QMB. Lee, your line is open.
Hi, thanks for the presentation. Just a quick question on margins going forward, for not necessarily related to QP, it could be related to anything, to be honest, the new ships. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the day rates that you have on the current fleet are around $120,000 per day, is that correct?
We do not comment what is the charter rates of our fleet.
Okay. Okay.
It is commercial sensitivity. We do not disclose the charter rates of Nakilat ships.
Okay. And you're not going to give us any idea where they are at all in relation to current day rates?
If you want just to understand what is the average charter rate for a new built vessel the last 10 years, I can tell you the reference numbers for the market is $75,000 average the last 10 years. But this is for the global shipping,
right.
LNG.
Okay. I just wondered what the if you sign something today, what the typical margins would be, especially considering the new build price of ships, I presume, is going to be going up if steel prices are up 50% over the 5-year average. So it will cost more to build a new ship, irrespective of anything else. So I'm just wondering how the margins would look, given ship prices will inevitably have to go up, and day rates are not going up right now.
Let me
take this one. Okay, put your second, go ahead, no problem.
No, just want to mention some facts is that the new build prices, historically wise, is always approximately $200 million. This is it can be changed between good times and bad times. For example, can be from 180 to high to 220. The average, if you take all this historical wise, is 200. Right now, the new build price are approximately $200 million. So there is no huge volatile on that. On the in terms of the returns, always Nakilat, whatever deals we have done in the past, usually we have said that we are looking for a double-digit leverage IRR as that. But I will let the CFO if he wants to elaborate further.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so the price of new build ships. There's been no indication that the price of new build ships has gone up, given the steel prices was double what it was 5 years ago, 50% higher than what it was a couple of years ago. There's no indication that the price of ships has gone up yet.
No, there isn't. Currently, if somebody wants to go ahead and to place a new build in South Korea, for example, it's approximately of $195 million. It depends. But this is a range because it depends on what technical specifications you need to build the vessel, what to refit inside. It depends, the liquefaction or something else that you need. But approximately right now, it's approximately 195, 200 million. If you ask me the same question, let's say 6 months ago, it was approximately 185. So this is the price indication if somebody wants now to go ahead and to place a new order. Let's say you are ship owner and you want to place order, this is approximately the range currently.
Okay, thank you.
Another reminder to participants to press star followed by one to ask a question. The next question comes from Ashanti Gupta from Dre. Ashanti, please go ahead.
Hi, Fotios and hi, Hani. I wanted to know about how your LPG ships are, earnings had been, and what is your outlook for LPG in general. And I have a follow-up question as well, not related to LPG, but to steam turbine vessels. Like recently we have seen EEXI regulations. I think they are going to come. So how do you see adherence to these regulations? Yeah, that's all from my side. Thank you.
Okay, I can take this question. Regarding the LPG, as you know, Nakilat owns only 4 LPG carriers, which means that we have, let's say, minor exposure or LPG relative to LNG. You know, for example, the approximate VLGC rate in 2020 was $46,000 average-wise, and currently it has been dropped due to seasonality. But the average for the first year of 2021, the market for VLGC is approximately 40,000, 38,000. The current fleet order book remains at reasonable levels and supports the VLGC market in the medium long term. So looking to the future, the market participants, what's expected is actually optimistic, but as you know, the LPG is more volatile market than the LNG, who has the majority of the contracts of LNG are more term or long term. This is my answer regarding the LPG. Regarding EXI, what I want to tell you is that Nakilat always comply with the new regulation of IMO. We have done it all this year and we'll continue to do this one. What I expected is we expect to see the market how will react with the new regulation, but our steam vessels are still on term contracts. But we expect to see, let's say, to see how the market will react, how they will comply with ship owners, but for sure for Nakilat side, will comply on IMO. This is what we can say, what we can do always. I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, thanks.
The next question comes from Meet Bat of Exiance. Meet, your line is open.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I just have only one question. So can you give us some sense of why was there a decline in the JV income in Q2 compared to Q1 21? So if you can give us a sense of that.
Yeah, I will take this one, Kotiat. We just had one-time charge in the shipyard entity for a legacy cost, and we took it in our Q2. So we should really expect Q3 to normalize in line with the Q1, and hopefully it will be even better than Q1 due to the fact that actually operationally the shipyard entities have performed very well, but just we took this one-time charge that makes the difference. So we should really expect Q3 to be stronger and better than Q2, but not only that, but also better than even a Q1 for the joint venture. I hope I answered the question.
Yes. So, should we expect any reversal in the charge which we have taken, or will it be there on the books?
No, it will continue to be there in the books. We, as a company, have looked at this potential cost, and we made a prudent decision to take that charge. However, we believe in a Q3, when that charge is not being present. Due to the fact that the shipyard facility actually, from operation point of view, they're doing very well. So you will start to see a way better results in Q3 than what has been achieved compared to Q1 and Q2 alone by itself.
Perfect. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
We've just had a question come through from Nafez Al-Abbas from Ajij Capital. Nafez, please go ahead.
Thank you, gentlemen, for the presentation. But just as a follow-up from the previous question, how much was the charge in Q2 on the shipyard?
We haven't disclosed it exactly yet, how much the charge, but you should expect to be, if you really move that charge, it should normalize it with the Q1 results.
I see. Thank you.
So I'll take this opportunity to ask a question myself, if I may. Just can we get a sense on when you will continue the shift management transition and getting the rest of the vessels to be managed in-house? Thank you.
Ahmed, as you can see, we continuously doing something transferring the ship management. You know, currently we're for the new vessels that is taking the delivery, we're already are the we are the one who's really managing them. So for the two global ships that is coming up in this fall and early 2022, we're doing that. We just took the after you. Now, for ship management, I'm sure that we will disclose if we ever gonna be planning to take more further ship management in due time. You have to also, you have to understand, we always try to have the capacity in-house in case there's a new business opportunities that is that might arise any time. So we should be able to take that and capture that business opportunity. So for now, as of today, we see that our focus was on taking the delivery of the next two LNG ships, is to make sure that we get them in-house and to be technically managed and commercially managed by our team. We took the FSRU back in December. We're trying to manage that vessels and build in-house the expertise, not only the know-how in managing the FSRU. As you know, this there's a lot of things is going on with Nakilat. We're exploring a lot of global opportunities. If they come, then we will be the one who's managing it technically. And I think if there's anything comes as an opportunity, we will let you know, guys, in due course.
Thank you.
We have another question on the phone line from Maya Bukir from Schroders. Maya, please go ahead.
Yes, hi Fotios and Hani, thank you for the call. Maybe following up on what you just said, I'd like to understand what would your operational capacity be to take on a big order of vessels. Can you handle, let's say, 10 new vessels at the same time coming from the Qatari supply increase operationally?
Yeah, I think we have a track record of being able to take over the operation of a large size of number of vessels. We've done it twice already with Stasco in two phases. And this year we have done also, you know, number of vessels, which is almost FSRU in December, a couple of vessels last year, a couple of vessels this year. So I think the company infrastructure that we have built over the years has the scalability factor built into it. So, and we have a pool of seafarer that allows us any global opportunities that might arise to us that we can capture that. I think Nakilat, as of today, and that's really also reflect in what we're repeatedly saying, the cost saving that you guys are seeing in the G&A and the OPEX year over year, it's not a reduction. It's a saving. It's sustainable because there's an economy of scales and scalability factor built in within the organization. So going forward, for us to manage more vessels based on the opportunities that might arise globally or from anywhere, we think that we can manage more vessels, and we also we have done it twice already, so I think we have no issue to do it another three times, or third time, or fourth time.
Just to be able to understand in terms of number of vessels, when you say a large number of vessels a year, are you like thinking double digits or 7, 8 or 10 plus?
You know, again,
I'll tell you.
Go ahead.
Yeah, what I'm trying to understand is, let's say the Qatar LNG supply that's going to come by 2025 will be 33 million tons, and that will require a certain number of vessels. I'm trying to just assess how much operational capacity Nakilat would have to take advantage of shipping these volumes?
Maya, again, we said in my comments, we don't comment on a QP and QG project. If today any project anywhere else in the world, okay, if you have a lot of number of vessels, rest assured that Nakilat is ready and got the scalability to do as much number of vessels anywhere in the world. It doesn't matter where it's being located. Again, I don't want to comment on QP or QG because that's something
yeah,
you said. We're not commenting in commercially. But for us as a company, as a global leader, as the company who has the largest LNG capacity, shipping capacity, I can assure you that we are can do large number of vessels. So please, if you have anybody who has globally 10 or 20 vessels that needs somebody to really run these vessels, we're happy to do that. Just let us know for sure.
Great. One more question from my end. The first two vessels, the new build vessels under the Maran JV that you've received over the last 12 months had short-term contracts. Have you managed to renew the charters for the first two?
They are still on charter, so once they finish, we might have can provide further information, but currently we cannot provide any further information as they are still on charter, and as you know, this is part of our commercial sensitivity of sharing information, but they're currently on charter.
Any idea when they will be up for renewal? Can you share with us?
I cannot do that right now, unfortunately, because, again, you said it's a commercially sensitive information, and we would like to always keep it as part of our best interest to our, to the company and to the shareholders of Nakilat, because it allows us, you know, to negotiate and to secure always a better rate when we know exactly when these, vessels might be renewed. But again, you don't have to worry about not being in charter. You know, most probably we will do that. However, we don't communicate or announce it before they are being closed or before the deal is being closed.
Yeah, great. Understood. For the third one that's coming this year, do we have a confirmed date that you can share with us?
Sorry, if we have a date delivery, I think Fortis can give approximate date. Yes.
Yes. The date specific we cannot give, but you can expect it approximately October-November of 2021 will be the third. And the last one is expected at the beginning of 2022, January, February. But this is just we give you a roughly idea.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much.
We have a question registered from Nikhil Arora of Franklin Templeton. Nikhil, please go ahead.
Yes, hi, Hani. Hi, Fortius. Thank you so much for the call. Maybe a couple of questions from my side. So, first of all, continuing with the last question that was asked. On a capacity point of view, let's say if you were to expand, would you rather go via the JV route like you have done in the recent past? Or let's say, would you have the capacity to take on more debt on the standalone balance sheet and own that asset 100%.
To be honest with you, we are indifferent. I think our balance sheet is very strong. People appreciate the Nakilat story. People appreciate the contract that backs the Nakilat story, and that's why we have bonds that is best rated in the world in the shipping segment. So if we have decided to expand through the joint venture or standalone, our balance sheet, our contracts should always give us the right support to secure the cost of funding that we need for any project.
Okay, thank you for that. And one more question on the, so this is not related to the North Field, but to the Texas project where Qatar Gas is also involved. Has a tender for ships been floated from that project as well? And do you intend to participate in that?
As we said, anything related to QP or QG, I think you need to go and seek that information directly from them through their website or listening to their press release. As we said, we don't comment on a commercial matters that hasn't been not disclosed publicly, and that something is related for QP and QG, so they will provide you more detail. For us, as I just said before to Maya, is that we are an LNG shipping company. We have been established for the last 16 years. We are operating close to 28 vessels. We have a track record of potentially able to manage in 1 year, you know, number of vessels. So as a global shipping company, we're happy to participate anywhere in the world in dealing with any charterers or any business opportunity, and usually we only disclose it when it is the right time to do so. But anything specific to a specific project related to QP for their LNG production, you know, that something is, I'm sure they are the one who can provide further details if it's needed.
Okay. And maybe lastly on your G&A expenses, you know, although I think year on year they continue to go down, but we have seen some pickup in the last two quarters. If you could comment on like what's the more sustainable level or if Q2 is something that we can expect to be the quarterly run rate going ahead.
I think you have to understand, you know, last year we had 30% or 28% drop. This year we had 18%. But these levels is supposed to be more or less sustainable. As I just said, you know, these are not about cost reduction, these are about scalability factors. It's about us doing cost savings. It's about us seeking leveraging the economy of scales of the company with the number of vessels that we are managing. So a lot of the resources and the infrastructures that was built over the years for that number of vessels to be managed now is being utilized and charged as part of the OPEX part rather than just as in the G&A side of the business. So I'm very comfortable that this level is sustainable. Maybe going forward will be in the same that level or with a minor increase due to inflation factor. But as we can see at these current levels, you know, I think we're almost tracking, you know, like 30-40% down compared to the last 3 years, for instance. So, but I see these things are sustainable levels that we can, see or, you know, be at least for the next 1 or 2 years. And if we have more vessels to be managed in the future and we have, further number of vessels increased, maybe that number will be even further optimized.
Thank you.
We don't appear to be having any more questions coming through, so I'll hand it back for you to conclude.
Okay. I would like to thank all of you for taking the time again to participate in our conference call today. All your questions is well received, and hopefully we can share it also with the management of the company. And we look forward to seeing you always. And if you have any questions, please contact Putias. He's always happy and maybe can provide further details if you guys require it or need it. Fortius, I just leave it from here with you.
Thank you so much, guys, for your attention to participate in our call. Always happy to hear your feedback. Have a great day and take care of yourself and stay safe. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Annie. Thank you, Mr. Annie. Thank you, Fotios. Thank you, everyone, for attending.